Well, it's in times like these, times of confusion and fear, where we have to look to God's word for direction and peace. So if you've got your Bible, grab it and open it up to Luke chapter 10, where we're going to be reading the parable of the Good Samaritan, looking for direction from God's word for us knowing how to follow Jesus in the midst of this global pandemic. We're starting this new series in our home gatherings where we're talking about faith, hope, and love, shaping the way that we follow Christ in this time. So I'm going to be starting with love. In 1 Corinthians 13, when it talks about faith, hope, and love, it says, and the greatest of these is love. So we'll start there, and then we'll be talking about hope and faith in the weeks to come. So I'll read Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, and then I'll open our time in the Word with a prayer. Okay, this is Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was walking down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This is God's word. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word and how your word reveals your character and your heart. And God, we need that more than ever right now. In a time when people are crying out and not sure where to look, God, we look to you and we thank you that you have spoken. Your voice has broken the silence. You have pursued us. You have initiated with us. And so, God, we pray that your word would give us guidance and clarity and purpose in this time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit is at work amongst us. And as your word is proclaimed today, we pray that your spirit would be working in hearts and in homes and in communities all over this city today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, right now, our culture is really being driven by self-preservation. That's what you see when you try to go to the grocery store and everyone's lining up and people are fighting over toilet paper and everyone's stocking up on everything. We're driven by self-preservation. Even many of the good measures that people are taking to be safe, it's ultimately for the safety of self. But here's what I want you to hear today, loud and clear. For followers of Jesus, what's greater than self-preservation is love. And love is self-giving and sacrificial. And listen, I'm not saying that self-preservation is a bad thing. No, of course, you need to care for yourself. You need to take care of yourself. You need to be wise, especially right now. But while self-preservation is a value, what I'm saying for Christians is that love is a greater value. It's a greater priority for us. And not only is it a priority, it's a calling from God himself. Think about it like this. With everything with the coronavirus, I certainly have a lot of worries and fears about everything that's going around. But honestly, I'm not that concerned for my own health in the midst of that. If what the medical professionals is true, then it's not that risky for me. At my age, and I don't have any pre-existing conditions, I could probably get over it pretty quickly. But love calls me to not just look out for my own needs, but to the needs of others. So while I'm not too worried about getting the coronavirus, love makes me think of the fact that, well, if I get the coronavirus, then what about people in my church? What about neighbors? What about friends that I have? What about family who might be more vulnerable? Love calls me not just to self-preservation, but to giving of self for the good of others. That's what we need to be a people of love in this culture right now. And so to do that, we need to look to the scriptures. And so in this story in Luke chapter 10, it says that Jesus tells this lawyer that he needs to love the Lord and to love his neighbor. And the man then responds to Jesus and says, well, then who is my neighbor? And Jesus answers that question by telling this story. A man's walking down the street. Imagine it's Sunset Boulevard, maybe Gower. And all of a sudden he gets jumped. It says that he's robbed, he's beaten, and he's left on the side of the road half dead. And so this man's laying on the side of the road. He can't help himself. And it says that a priest walks by, a very prominent religious man. But maybe he was too busy. He just keeps going, ignores the man. And then another person comes by. It's a Levite. Again, it would have been another important religious person. And what does he do? He keeps going. He wouldn't associate with that type, or he didn't have time to stop. Whatever the reason was, he doesn't stop. But then we are told that a Samaritan comes, and the Samaritan sees the man and has compassion. And his compassion leads him to going and caring for this man and binding up his wounds, taking him to an inn, actually giving his own money. He gives an open tab to the innkeeper saying, I'll pay whatever I need to later. Just make sure to take care of this man. It's an incredible story that Jesus tells us, and it answers three of the most important questions that we could ever ask about love. And the first one is this: who is my neighbor? Now, what I want you to understand in this passage is that when it talks about love of neighbor, and Jesus speaks of this elsewhere, here the man, the lawyer talking to Jesus mentions this, when it's talking about love of neighbor, this is a reference back to Leviticus 19, everybody's favorite book of the Bible, Leviticus. Maybe you got to Leviticus 16 in like a year plan and then stopped. But in Leviticus 19, it talks about love of neighbor. And the question there is, who's the neighbor? And if you go back in your Bibles and read in Leviticus 19, you'll see specifically that it's talking about the poor, the sojourners, the deaf, the blind. When it's talking about loving your neighbors in Leviticus 19, it's talking about the most vulnerable people. So you come to Luke 10 and Jesus tells this story and he's answering the question, who is my neighbor? Well, clearly it's someone who's vulnerable. But I think the answer gives us an even more practical question. Our neighbor is anyone who is in need. That whoever you come across that is in need, that is your neighbor. That is one that you are called by God to love and to show the love of God. And I love then how after Jesus tells this story, he flips the question on the man in a sense. The man had asked, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells the story and he asks the question, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man? So while we're saying, well, I need to find someone who needs my help, he's saying, what kind of neighbor are you? He puts the onus on the man. And so I think for us, that's a way of getting us to the question of, who are we? What's our character? How is the Lord shaping us and then using us in our society in a time like this? And so if our neighbors then are not just the person who's got the address, you know, that's a number up from yours or lives in the apartment next to you, our neighbor are those who are vulnerable and those who are in need. So let me ask you this. Who around you is vulnerable right now? And what does it look like for you to love them? Who are the sick? Who are the elderly in your life? Who do you know that has pre-existing conditions that maybe is afraid right now, maybe is scared, and maybe is isolated because of that? I think about my neighbor, Mary. She's in her 80s. She has a lot of health conditions. She can't go to the grocery store on her own. So I read this story and I think she's literally my physical neighbor, but she's the neighbor that I'm called to, especially in light of this coronavirus, where she's vulnerable. God has called me to pray for her and to help her. And if I'm going to go to the grocery store to get something for my family, I need to check in with Mary and say, what do you need? Let me bring you back something from the grocery store. So that's the first question who is my neighbor? It's the vulnerable. It's anyone who is in need. Second, the second question that we have to ask of this passage is, how do I show love? And you have a model of this from the Samaritan. And what we learn first is that love is compassionate. That's the first thing that it tells us about the Samaritan, is that he had compassion on the man who is bleeding on the side of the road. Everyone else walked past him. The Samaritan looked at him and he saw the dignity in the man before he saw his needs. He recognized that he's a fellow brother. He's a human being made in the image of God. And so he had compassion on him. That word compassion literally means to suffer with. He cared enough to enter into this man's suffering. He didn't just look at him and feel bad. No, he had a compassion that compelled him to go and do something about it. So, first of all, love is compassionate. Secondly, what we learn from this is that love is costly. I mean, literally in the story, it's costly. The Samaritan goes and has to pay money for the man to be taken care of. But I don't just mean, of course, that it's costly financially. In giving of his money, the man was showing that love is giving of self. That really is what love is in its essence, to be able to sacrifice. Love is having a commitment to the good of another person, that you are willing to sacrifice your own good for their benefit. Love is sacrificial. You can do something kind to someone, but not sacrifice. You could do something good to someone, maybe expecting something in return. But to love someone is actually to sacrifice for their well-being. So love is compassionate. Love is costly. And then what we also see from this story is that love crosses boundaries. You've got to understand that in the first century, the Samaritans were considered enemies of the Jewish people. Samaritans were people who stayed back during the exile. They intermarried with other ethnicities. And so the Jews came back and they saw them as the worst of the worst. They wouldn't want to go near them. If they were walking, if they needed to go through a Samaritan town, instead they would go around it. They looked down on the Samaritans so much. And yet Jesus tells this story where the hero of the story is a Samaritan. A man who's willing to cross boundaries because of love. And so when we think about the essence of love, this is so important because in our culture, the word love gets thrown around, of course, in so many different ways. And it becomes cheapened, it becomes shallow, it becomes sentimental. But Scripture reminds us that love is sacrificial. That's the way that God has loved us, and it's the way that God calls us to love others. So how does this apply for us today? Well, in the midst of the coronavirus and everything that's going on around it, God calls us to be people of love. I read an article earlier this week that was really helpful just in processing and thinking through everything that's going on and all the different opinions. It was by Andy Crouch. It was an article called Love in the Time of Coronavirus. And here's what he had to say. We need to redirect social energy from anxiety and panic to love and preparation. This crisis presents an extraordinary opportunity to fortify small communities of love and care for our neighbors. That will only happen if we lead in a way that reduces fear, increases faith, and reorients all of us from self-protection to serving others. That's what we can be, small communities of love that are reducing fear, increasing faith for the good of the city that the Lord has called us to. This is what the early church did, and this is one of the ways that the early church grew. In the first century, the Roman world, the Greco-Roman world, there were commonly plagues. People were ridden with sickness and illness all the time. And what would happen is a plague would come, and people would often leave the cities to stay away from the plague until people died out, and then they would come back. But Christians actually had a reputation in the first couple of centuries that they were the ones who would stick around in the midst of a plague and care for those who were sick and wounded and who other people didn't want to get near. And why would they do this? Because they were following Jesus, the very one who would touch the leper. And so we see how the love of God compels us. We see that in the scriptures. You see that in the early church. And that's what God is calling us to be a people of love. And there's a lot of ways that we can love. We can pray for our neighbors. We can encourage our neighbors. We can help them out practically. Right now, with so many limitations, it's easy to focus on limitations and to be able to think, well, what can I do? I'm not even supposed to be around people, or I'm not even, all these things that I'm a part of have been canceled. What can I actually do to help? What I want to encourage you to do in the midst of this is don't focus on your limitations. Get creative and find ways to show love. If you can't be face-to-face with people that you care about in the midst of this, go out of your way to reach out to them via text message or email or FaceTime, whatever that is. If you're not in your regular work environments or whatever that is, get creative, pray, ask the Lord. Don't allow this thing to leave you paralyzed thinking, what can I do? God can do anything, and he's called you into that work. He wants to be at work in his people during this time. So we've asked the question, who is my neighbor? And then how do I show love? But the third question is really important, and it's this. Where does this kind of love come from? And to answer this question, I want you to think about this. In the story of the Good Samaritan, who do you identify with? Some of you might identify with the priest or the Levite. In fact, that's probably the common person that we identify with in the story, that, well, I'm busy, and so I see a need, but I have something else to do, or I think I'm important, or I don't want to cross kind of these ethnic boundaries, whatever that is. We often identify with one of those characters in the story. But when we zoom out from Luke 10 and look at the scriptures as a whole, I think that what we see is that we're not ultimately the person in the story who's either ignoring the person or even the Samaritan who goes and helps the person. We identify with the person who's on the side of the road, helpless, who can't get himself up, who needs someone to come and rescue him. The scriptures say that not only is that the case, but that it's not just because we were mistreated or robbed that we actually chose to be in that situation. And the Good Samaritan here in this story is pointing us ultimately to Christ. I mean, Jesus is telling this story, but he's telling it on the way to the cross. And the Good Samaritan is pointing to what Christ accomplishes and what he does through the cross. There we are laying on the side of the road, and he comes. He looks upon you with compassion. He goes to you. He binds up your wounds. He cares for you. He gives of himself for you. And that is love. Greater love knows no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And so when we talk about this story, it ultimately points us to the love of God in Christ. And that's the good news of the gospel, that Christ died for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us, and God demonstrates his love in that very way. So I want to remind you today of the good news of Christ's death on the cross for your sins. I want to remind you that you are loved by God, that God cares for you, he binds up your wounds, he carries you, he has given of himself, he has shown sacrificial love for you. And we receive that through faith, through trusting in him. But remember that this love that God gives us in Christ, it doesn't stop with us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 says that Christ's love compels us. So God's love comes to us, but then it goes through us to those who are around us. And so while I want to call you to be a people of love and to go out and love, what you've got to understand first and foremost is that you are loved. And that as you are filled with God's love, that will be the very way that you love others. You know, the coronavirus has everyone talking about life and death. And it's certainly a time as we hear the death toll rise and we hear about the fear of sickness. It is certainly a time where we need to be aware of the brevity and fragility of life, that our days are numbered. And as Christians, that's something that we don't have to be afraid of, to live as Christ and to die as gain. So listen, we need to be cautious, we need to be careful, we need to be wise, but we do not need to be afraid. What we have in Christ cannot be taken from us. Romans 8 talks about how nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not the coronavirus, not cancer, not sickness, not illness. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So right now, with everything that's going on, I hope that you can be rooted in God's love and that you can know that you can have a peace that surpasses understanding. Earlier this week, I was talking to my mother-in-law and she was telling me about her neighbor. And her neighbor, Barb, is a woman that every time we go back to my in-law's house in Indiana, we see Barb at least once. She usually comes over and takes a family picture of all of us. And she's the sweetest lady. She's just kind and sweet. She was married for 60 years. And Barb was nearing the end of her life. She had gotten sick. She'd been in hospice for a while. And my father-in-law and my mother-in-law went to be with her. And they sat around her bed and they sang hymns. And they sang hymn after hymn after hymn. And during one hymn, they sang over and over again of the love of Jesus. And she heard of the love of Jesus. And literally, the name Jesus was the last thing that she heard. And then she breathed her last breath. And I reflected on that, and I was so saddened to hear of her loss, and yet so encouraged to think that she passed to be with the Lord, surrounded by friends, hearing the love of Jesus, and knowing that she is deeply loved by him. Now, we can have that same experience today or whenever that day comes for us. So I want to remind you of God's love for you and to keep focused on his love during this time and to be an instrument of his love. There are so many needs around us, but God's love is abundant. His mercy is overflowing in our lives. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your unfailing, steadfast love. And Lord, we pray that we would know that while we have sinned, while we find ourselves in a situation where we are helpless, we are powerless to change ourselves, that you have sent your son Christ to come and rescue us. We thank you that Jesus looks upon us with compassion, that he heals our wounds, that he brings us together. And God, we pray that as we receive love from you, that in this time, in this city, that you would use us as instruments of your love. God, give us wisdom in knowing how to engage with all of this and what to go to and what to be a part of and where to step back. But Lord, also give us courage to love boldly. Remind us to pray, show us where the needs are, and Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.